you again this evening. And girls, I appreciated that presentation. That was great. Thank you so much. What a challenge to see our young people willing to go and do short-term missionary service to serve the Lord. And I guess this is near to my heart because my granddaughter is going to go do a short-term mission trip this summer as well. And so that's kind of exciting for us. We've had the privilege through the years of working with young people and leading short-term mission trips, and now to hear of this, that's exciting. And we want to encourage you in this and be assured of our prayers for you. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sure in the many times that I've been here with you and shared with you from God's Word, I always count it a privilege to do that. But I'm sure I've said sometime along in my times with you that really my daily prayer for myself is that I finish well. I've seen so many people through the years, servants of the Lord, that have not finished well. And it's my prayer that I finish well. And I'm sure that's a prayer that many of you have, that you finish well. As I go through the scriptures, I find that there are individuals who haven't finished well. And we also find individuals who didn't start well, but they finished well. And of course, then we have those that I really want to be one of those, and many of you that started well, continued well, and finished well. And that should be the desire of each one of our hearts, and especially for our young people, that you start well, that you continue well, and that you finish well. If I would title the message this evening, I would call it The Importance of Faithfulness or Leaving a Legacy. I'm getting to that stage in life. Another 20 or 30 years, I might be considered an old man. I'm getting there, you know. And in that, I often think, what kind of legacy am I leaving? Really, what kind of legacy am I leaving? Have you ever thought about that? I think sometimes we get so caught up in the everyday life and routine of life that we really don't stop and reflect as we ought to on our life, on living, on our testimony, on really what's important to leave behind. I can tell you, I'm not going to be leaving a big bank account. I'm not going to be leaving a big inheritance to anyone. But I hope to leave a legacy. A legacy such as we find in God's Word. And that legacy, I think, is based upon, and we're going to try to tie some things together here in Hebrews. But I think that we see this really in Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to read the first 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 12. Even though our focus will primarily be on the first three or four verses and just mention the other verses in passing. But I think it's important for us to read this, then to look at the context and setting this evening. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best for them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God does bless the reading of his word. And I trust that as we've read this scripture this evening, that you already have been blessed. If nothing more has been said tonight than that, you have been blessed because we've had God's word open. The Apostle Paul often, I believe, spoke about faithfulness. Faithfulness is important. We know that we have a faithful God. We serve a faithful God. I've had the joy and privilege to be in the Lord's work for over 51 years, believe it or not. I started when I was just an infant, you know. Not really. But I've had that privilege. And I tell you, it's been a great privilege. I believe I'm one of the most blessed people on planet Earth to have had the privilege to devote my life to serving the Lord in a capacity of where I've not had to work. I've just been able to study and to open God's Word and share God's Word with people. And that's been a tremendous blessing to me personally to do that. And for all of these years, and my wife and I, we can bear testimony of this. This summer we're going to celebrate our 50th anniversary. And he has never failed us. We serve a faithful God. He does not fail us. He has promised. And we are amazed. We simply, every day, we stand amazed at how he provides, how he cares for us, the strength that he gives to us, his love as it's shown to us each day. We serve a faithful God. Having said that, though, I can tell you that there have been times that I have not always been faithful to him. There have been times where I've made soft choices. There have been times where I know that I've been disobedient to him in my life. And you can make the excuse, or I can make the excuse, I'm only human, you know. But the reality is that that is no excuse. Because as a believer, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And we have a faithful Creator to serve. I sat down a few months ago just for my own children to give to them. And at Christmas, I did this. I gave to them. I said, just put it in an envelope. But things I've learned in 50 years of ministry. And as I began to write these things out, some of the lessons the Lord has taught me, I was amazed at what the Lord has taught me and what the Lord has done and given me the privilege to be involved in through the years in serving him. But the question is, what legacy am I leaving as a believer? What is a legacy? I don't know if you've ever asked that question or not. What is a legacy? Well, a legacy, simply defined, is something that you hand down or pass on to the next generation. What are we passing on to the next generation? I want it to be said that when God spoke of David, he said, there's a man after my own heart. And when he said that, if you read in Acts chapter, I believe it's chapter 11, where he's speaking about that, or Acts chapter 12, I can't remember right now. But he goes on and says that he served his own generation by the will of God. Now, was David a perfect man? Okay, you can cooperate with me now. Remember, this is no. This is yes. Was David a perfect man? No. David wasn't. And yet the Bible declares, hundreds of years after David had already gone, he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who faithfully served God in his own generation. And that should be the desire of every one of us, to faithfully serve God in our own generation. If you remember, we did a series with you on Wednesday evenings on stewardship. not too long ago. And we found out sort of the key verse that we kept repeating every Wednesday night when we were with you. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Okay. We serve a faithful God, but God says that we are to be faithful in serving Him. Stewardship, everything's entrusted to us. We're to be good stewards of that. And yet the question is often asked, and I shouldn't say often asked, but asked clearly in the book of Proverbs. The writer of Proverbs says this: most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? We're living in a day where faithfulness is a rare thing. But that's what God wants from each one of us. And so when we look at this, I'd like to suggest to you that in Hebrews chapter 12, that really he's teaching us some great lessons about a legacy that has been left to us, and really a challenge to us: what legacy are we going to leave to the next generation? You notice in chapter 12, verse 1, the very first word in the translation that I read from is therefore. And so again, you've heard me say, when you come to the word therefore, see what it's there for. It's a connecting word. It's a word that ties together the scriptures. And any scripture taken out of context really is a pretext. We have to look at the scriptures in context. And so what the writer of the book of Hebrews, and I don't know who you think the author of Hebrews is. Some people think it's Apollos. I happen to think it's the Apostle Paul. Please don't throw your hymn books at me if you don't agree with that. We don't know definitely who the writer is. But the writer, we know the important thing is the real writer is the Holy Spirit. Inspired by God, whoever the human author was as he wrote the scriptures, we realize that there's a great message from God that he wants us to hear. And he starts out with telling us about, by connecting what he's saying to us, to run the race that's before us. He says, look at the legacy that you've had. I did a series of studies a number of years ago entitled Lessons Learned from Lives Lived. Just going through biographical sketches of lives of people in the Bible and the lessons that they give to us. And really, we have many of those lessons given to us in Hebrews chapter 11. So therefore, let's just go back to Hebrews chapter 11, because he refers to them. When he says, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. What's this cloud of witnesses? Now, some people will tell you that cloud of witnesses are people who have died before us and gone to heaven, and they're up there in heaven and they're cheering us on, you know, and say, oh, keep it up, you know, finish well. No, I don't think that's what this is talking about. Those cloud of witnesses, and they're not up there witnessing us. It's the witness they've left for us. This great cloud of witnesses are those who are recorded basically in Hebrews chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 11. When you look at the legacy of others, if you go back right to the end of chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, you'll find that the Hebrew Christians we don't know how long they had been believers, but these Hebrew Christians, they were discouraged. They had lost heart in many respects. And if you go back and read some of these verses in Hebrews chapter 10, for instance, in verse 31, after he's reminded it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then he goes on, but recall the former days. So these believers, they had become discouraged. We don't know all the details. We don't know all the reasons why they had become discouraged. But they had become discouraged with things. And they were at the point of just wanting to give up. And we're reminded through this, don't give up. Remain faithful through every circumstance, no matter what's happening in your life. Remain faithful. We need endurance in our life. Again, we're living in a culture today where we want everything instantly, immediately. That's not the way God works. God's timing is not our timing. And when you talk about the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we have to endure. We have to patiently endure. And these Christians were just giving up. It's too hard. Life sucks, if you please. It's tough. And they wanted to throw in the towel. And so listen, we are encouraged here. Don't do that. That is not the kind of legacy that you want to leave. Well, things got tough, so they just gave it up. No. We need to continue on. And so he takes right into chapter 11. And in chapter 11, you probably know chapter 11 is God's honor roll of faith or God's hall of fame of faith or whatever you want to call it. But you go through and Hebrews 11 is the great faith chapter. And we know the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We have to live by faith. And I think sometimes we forget this in our culture today. And we think, you know, well, I've got a good job and I've got all this security or whatever. As believers, you are saved by faith and you're to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall what? Live by faith. Every one of us. You can't trust your job. You don't know how long that job's. You have to live by faith. And if we're going to please God, that's how we please Him, is by living by faith. Trusting Him for every need. Trusting Him for guidance to lead us, to direct our paths and our steps. And so he goes through. And after in chapter 10, he talked about the legacy of those who had got discouraged and wanted to give up. Chapter 11, he gives us the other side of the story. A legacy that every one of us that can look at. Those who were faithful. And notice I said faithful. I did not say perfect or sinless. Because everyone in that list, I'm sure, even though we do not know a lot of details about some of their lives, but every one of them were simply flesh. They were men and women. And therefore, we know they were sinful creatures. And as you go through and you begin to go through this list, notice, for instance, in verse 4, what does he say? By faith, Abel. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Abel. I can tell you that Abel's was obviously a shepherd. Sometimes in order to keep those two brothers straight, Cain and Abel, the first two boys in the world, Cain was a pain. Abel kept the stable. All right, so just simple way that I help remember, helps me to remember who was whom, and you go through and you find that basically Abel, he had been taught, I believe, by his parents, by Adam and Eve. And he understood that sin separated them from God. And he understood that in order for their sin to be covered, an animal had to be slain, blood had to be shed. And so when it came time for these boys to offer their sacrifices, what happened? Cain brought the first fruits of the ground. That's not what God required. What he required was a blood sacrifice. And we read that Abel did that. He had a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And through that sacrifice, through his obedience to God, he did what? He obtained witness that he was righteous because he offered the blood sacrifice to God. And so his sacrifice actually wound up costing him his own life. Because he was obedient to God, his brother was jealous, his brother killed him. And you know the story. Though we don't know a lot about Abel, we know that by faith he offered that sacrifice to God. Abel was faithful. If you go on to verse 5, another man is named by faith, Enoch. Enoch's one of my favorite Old Testament characters. And it's amazing what the Bible does tell us about Enoch. But here, basically, it said, by faith, Enoch was translated. He was not, for God took him. And I still remember the little story that the little girl coming home from Sunday school and sitting around the table, and they're talking about the parents to the daughter, and what did you learn in Sunday school today, sweetheart? And she said, well, I learned that Enoch went out for a long walk one day, and he got so far away from home that God said, come on home with me. You know, a little simple story, but I tell you, it makes the point. And it says, before his translation, Before God translated him, he had this testimony. And what was his testimony? He pleased God. I'm sure if I would ask you this evening, if that's your testimony, you would say, I hope so. That's what I want. I want to please God. Well, you're only going to please God if you, what? Live by faith. If you're faithful. Enoch was faithful. And you continue on through that list. Next we have in verse 7, we have a man by the name of Noah. And Noah, we read, by faith, Noah, he was divinely warned. God warned him of things to come. And what did he do? He prepared the ark for the saving of his soul and for his family. And he was a faithful witness for 120 years. By faith, he was faithful to God. And of course, then you go on to verses 8 through 10 and 17 through 19, and you're introduced to a man by the name of Abraham. And Abraham, what do we read by him? By faith, Abraham obeyed God. God called him out of a country, and God said, go, and he went, not knowing where he was going, but he obeyed God. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country. He waited on God. By faith, we read. Go a little bit further and you have Sarah mentioned. Sarah, by faith, what happened? She received strength because she judged him faithful. Here was a lady past the age to bear children. And yet God had kept a promise that he made to Abraham and to her. And a son was born, Isaac, one of the greatest types of Christ we have in the Old Testament. She received strength because she judged him faithful. And that doesn't mean her faith didn't waver. In fact, she laughed even at one time, didn't she, at God? Not perfect people, but people who lived by faith. And then in verse 20, there was Isaac who blessed Jacob by faith. And then in verse 21, there was Jacob who blessed his sons. And in verse 22, there was Joseph who believed God and that God would keep his promises. And so before he died, he said, listen, when I die, you make sure that you take my body back to the land, the promised land. By faith, he believed it. By faith. And then there's Moses in verses 23 through 29. Moses endured because he saw him who is invisible. In verse 31, we have Rahab, the harlot, by faith. What did she do? Verses 32 through 40, we have Gideon and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets and women and others. All of these. And when I mention those names, I'm sure that in your mind you can go back and, Samson? You know, you might scratch your head and say, Jephthah, who's that? Well, pretty important character when you go back and read. Gideon and all of these. And yet, remember, these weren't perfect people, but they were faithful. They by faith. And so the challenge given when you get to the end of chapter 11 and into chapter 12. With this great cloud of witnesses, those who had been faithful, those who judged God faithful and were obedient to him, they've given to us a legacy. God has not changed. And if God was faithful to them, God will be faithful to you and God will be faithful to me. God will never fail you. Even when you fail him, God does not fail you. See, God is faithful. And these witnesses, and I don't know where you fit in to this great cloud of witnesses. I don't know whether you can identify with Sarah, or I don't know if you can identify with Enoch. I don't know where you fit in, but I can tell you, they left a legacy for you and for me. God honors those who live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so, chapter 12 again. Now, after we've had this legacy of others, he says, since you're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When I read these verses, my question is, what hinders me from leaving a legacy like that great cloud of witnesses? What hinders me? What are hindrances to your faithfulness, to my faithfulness? Well, I'd like to suggest, first of all, the first hindrance is indwelling sin. He said, you've been surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Were they perfect? No. Did they sin? Yes. And yet God counted them faithful because they lived by faith. And when you look at this, what's he saying? Lay aside every sin which does so easily beset us, or every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. Notice it says weight and sin. Every weight and the sin. What are some weights that hinder us? If you go back even and look through some of those examples, what were some of the weights that hindered them? Well, with Samson, there was the weight of unbridled lust. There was a weight of deceit. And then there were other things. And you can go through every one of them and you can see that they had some weights that they had to deal with. But notice it says every weight. I don't know what weights are holding you back or holding me back. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's, you know, name the areas that you struggle with. But I can tell you, there is a sin. A sin. Because it says, and the sin which so easily besets us. And what's the sin? That's the question. What hinders me as a believer? What hinders me being faithful to God? Well, let me tell you. Faithlessness. Lack of faith. See, every one of these, not perfect, but by faith. And you and I, we're not perfect. We're forgiven. Praise the Lord. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're forgiven. But there are days where you struggle with faithlessness. You ever find it hard to just trust the Lord in your circumstance, in your situation? Okay? We all do, I'm sure. And so, that's the first hindrance. The sin that so easily besets us or entangles us, ensnares us. We have to put it away. God says, again, the just shall live by faith. Live daily with your eyes focused on Him, trusting Him in every area of your life. The second hindrance to faithfulness to God, second hindrance that's going to affect the legacy that we live, is run with patience, he says, going on. Run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Now again, I remind you that the race in the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. A marathon normally is a specified distance. We do not know the distance. Some people's life is shorter than others. But still, it's an endurance race. It's not something that that you're in it just for the short term. It's a commitment for your life. Run with patience, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, the race that is before you. The Christians, the believers, the Hebrew believers back in chapter 10, they had become discouraged. They were giving up. They weren't enduring. They weren't persevering. And how many times today does that characterize the life of believers? We give up too easily. We've been fed the line, trust Christ and all your problems are solved. No, the truth is, trust Christ and your eternal salvation is solved. But you're still in the flesh. You're still here in this world and in living this life. But now, you have someone to face the problems with you. You have help and you have strength. But you have to run with patience. Don't get entangled with the things that are going to drag you down, these weights in your life. Two forms of this sluggishness or lack of endurance are seen. One is growing weary. Those Christians had looked at the obstacles and rather than the finish line. I think even there were times when Abraham did this. And yet Abraham was this man of faith. But there were times when he looked at the obstacles. God, I'm an old man. My wife's an old lady. And how can we have a child? And they began to take matters into their own hands. And we're still struggling with that particular day in history. We need to wait on the Lord. God is faithful. He keeps His promises. And so we have to trust Him. Don't grow weary. Keep trusting. Don't lose heart. Keep your eye finished on the finish line. The Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonian Christians, "Brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Sometimes it gets weary. Sometimes we do get tired. But press on. Keep your eye fixed on the finish line. Keep your eye focused on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the author and the perfecter or completer of our faith. We cannot give up. Too much is at stake. And I think of Caleb. You remember the story of Caleb, and Caleb was one of the spies that went in. And after they went in and they captured the promised land, he goes to Joshua and says, "Joshua," and he's 85 years old, he says, "Give me this mountain." It's the mountain that God promised all those years ago when we went in to spy out the land. "I'm ready to take it." Yeah. Isn't that great? So that's what we want to finish well. We keep our eyes on the goal and we're not going to give up. Until the Lord takes us home, we want to be faithful. We want to live by faith. And then there's another thing that will sometimes hinder us in being faithful to God. Not only is there indwelling sin, that sin which so easily besets us, faithlessness. Not only is there a fact that we get tired and we want to give up, we don't run with endurance the race that's set before us, but there's also the matter of, because we are children of God, there's a matter of not understanding God's dealings in our life, His chastisement. When you read verses 5 through 11, the writer of Hebrews reminds us here, "You've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by Him." And how often because we do not understand, because God loves us, He does discipline us. Parents, why do you discipline your children? Because you're mom and dad and you can do it? No, you do it because you love your children. And so children, listen. When your mom and dad tell you to do something, it's not because they're big bad monsters. It's because they love you and they know what's best for you. Listen. They love you. And so when they discipline you, it's because they do love you. And they have some wisdom and maturity. And so we need to realize that. But often we don't understand. When God disciplines us, it's because He loves us. And if we think, oh, God's forgotten me. No, no. We need to realize. And if we don't understand God's chastening in our life, then we are not going to run the race as we ought to. A proper reaction to how God deals with us is important. So we know what hinders our faithfulness to God. Let me very quickly just give to you, and our time is past, what will keep us faithful? What will keep us faithful? Well, again, let me give you just a couple things. Number one, I've already mentioned it. Number one, understand the Christian life. We're in it for the long run. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And we're here and we're going to be faithful till we reach the finish line. And that's the second point. Keep your sight on the goal. Keep your sight on the finish line. What kind of legacy will you live? Grow spiritually. Consider Him. And that He gives us the example. Consider Him who endured the cross. What would have happened if that night when He was betrayed, He had said, "That's it"? No, He went all the way. He endured the cross. And the shame that He experienced and all that He went through for you and me. What an example. We know nothing of what it means to suffer as He suffered for us. Keep your eyes on the goal. So in conclusion, remember, the heart of the matter is always a matter of the heart. And here's my challenge this evening. Get off your rear ends and get busy. As long as He has left you here, He has something for you to do. So get up and begin to serve Him. Look around. Be actively involved in serving the Lord. Because when the next generation sees you being faithful, your witness is going to be the encouragement for them to be faithful likewise. The legacy we leave is the life we live. Did you hear that? The legacy we leave is the life that we live. What kind of life are you living? Could I read in closing the words of a song that I heard Steve Green, and I really enjoy Steve Green, perform. But listen to these words. We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Is that the legacy you're leaving? Will those who follow? There was a faithful man. There's a faithful woman. They lived by faith. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the privilege this evening to look together into your word, to be able to share these simple thoughts. We know that you're a faithful God. You have never failed us. Father, help us to be faithful. May our legacy be that we walked with you by faith. Characterize our life day by day. And Father, we thank you for the legacy of those who've gone before us. And we pray that those who come after us will find us faithful. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.